Read together Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Call special attention to stanzas 10 and 11, which are our text for this evening. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Beloved people of God, verse 11 of the text we consider this evening is a confession of the faith of God's people. Once again, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, say the people of God. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As you, Sam, and Samantha, and Jake have made confession of your faith tonight, you can say with God's people the confession in this text as well. Really, this text's confession of faith in God is the central confession of faith that we make. In all of our confession, all of our faith, it says this one thing, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's our confession. That's your confession tonight. Make that confession regarding our confidence with regard to the present. You three do, and we all do. That's a beautiful comfort for today. The Lord of hosts is with us. We say that each day. The Lord of hosts is with us. We make this confession also, our confession with regard to the future. All of us, and you three as well, make this confession with regard to the future. What will your life be like? You may wonder. We do wonder. What will our lives be like? We know looking forward there will be difficulties, there will be trials. Life is that way for God's people. We know too, as we near the end, the power of the anti-Christian kingdom will grow, and we see that power and that evil and that wickedness already present in the world as there is abounding iniquity all around. We know, you know, In the midst of all of that, one great thing that dominates all and controls everything else, the Lord of hosts is with you. The Lord of hosts is with us. We consider that text or the text under that theme tonight. The Lord of hosts is with us. First of all, awesome confession. It is an awesome confession of the child of God. Secondly, solid comfort. And thirdly, quieting knowledge. God is with us, we confess. But who is referred to by the word us? Who is God with? Verse 11, or rather verse 4 of the context, gives us the answer to that question. Verse 4 reads, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." The us, those whom God is with, is the church, the city of God. The city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 5 confirms that that's the idea. Verse 5 says, immediately after the reference to the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, we read, God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of His city. That means Israel. First of all, God was with Israel in the Old Testament. Israel was the dwelling place of the Most High God. It means to refer then to God's people, God's church, throughout all of history. Old Testament and in the New Testament, one church and one promise, one glorious confession, the Lord of hosts is with us. And when we refer to the church, we mean, of course, the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that true church, especially as she's expressed and comes to manifestation in a church institute. The Church Institute says, the Lord of hosts is with us. We then, as a Church Institute, as a congregation, a true Church of Jesus Christ, say, the Lord of hosts is with us. And then so too can every living member of the Church make this confession. You three who have made confession of faith tonight, together with His people, can make this confession. You have confidence now as you join the church, not join the church as members, but join the church as confessing members, as adult and mature confessing members. You have the confidence now to say, the Lord of hosts is with me as I am a member of His church, as He is present with His church. So as I am a member of that church, He is present with me. Tremendous blessing that comes from making confession of faith, that confidence that comes from making confession of faith as a member of the church. When the text says the Lord of hosts is with us, it means that the Lord of hosts is with us in distinction from others. The text does not teach, in all of the Scripture, does not teach that the Lord of hosts is with all. The Lord of hosts is with all men. He is not. The Lord of hosts is with us. And that in distinction from the heathen. That's the text as well. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved, verse 6 says. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Shows that God is over against the heathen, the kingdoms, the ungodly of this world. He is not with them, but rather he is against them and with us. He's with us because he is the God of Jacob, our text says. Jacob, whom God loved before he did any good or evil. And Jacob, whom God loved in distinction from Esau, whom God hated. The God of Jacob, we say, is our refuge and is with us. The God of Jacob as the God of election, the God who has elected me, you, his church, his people in eternity, the God who has decreed to be with us already eternally and decreed always to be with us as his elect people. The Lord of hosts, God of Jacob, is with us. God is with us not only in distinction from his not being with the heathen, but also God is with us as the heathen are opposed to us. That too is the meaning of the passage. The passage works with the understanding of the antithesis, that there are those who are opposed to the church, that there is a reprobate and there is an elect, that the church is God's elect, and that there are those who are reprobate, ungodly kingdoms of this world who set themselves over against the church and therefore over against the Lord of hosts. They are always opposed to his church. That's true throughout history. We see that as we look at the scripture, we read the history of God's Old Testament church, we read how there were all kinds of foreign nations, ungodly heathen, who set themselves over against God's church and sought to destroy the church. That's the case today as well. Don't be fooled by their extending a hand of peace and inviting you to join with them and speaking broadly of their tolerance and of their love for all and accepting all, even those who hold to the truth and walk according to the truth of God's word. Don't be fooled. The heathen rage yet today and oppose the church of Jesus Christ, oppose the true church of Jesus Christ. But then too, the word heathen here represents all of our enemies. Not only the ungodly people of the world who shall soon form an anti-Christian kingdom and overtly and obviously stand opposed to the church, but also all of our enemies, sin, the temptation of sin, power of that temptation on account of our own sinful natures, guilt, damning guilt, doubt, that can plague our souls. The devil, our enemy, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Death is the ultimate enemy that seeks to destroy us. Over against all of these enemies, represented in the text by the word heathen, over against all of these enemies, is God. Not us, first of all, but God. And God, the text says, is with us. He's with us as the Lord of hosts. Over against all our enemies, over against all the heathen, God is with us as the Lord of hosts. The word Lord there is the name Jehovah. And that brings out, first of all, that name Jehovah brings out, first of all, that He is the independent one. He stands independent of any creature. He has no need. He is self-sufficient. The word, the name Jehovah then brings out His power, His sovereignty, His absolute glory over all that is created. But He is the Lord of hosts. Literally, the Lord of armies. That name, again, continues to bring to the forefront the idea that God is sovereign, and God is almighty, and God is the creator of all the world, and that He's the upholder of it all. He holds it all by His mighty hand, and He's the one who governs all things according to His providence. He is the sovereign, almighty, creator, upholder, and governor of all things. Each creature that He's created, that He upholds and governs by His sovereign might, is viewed by the name Lord of hosts. Each creature is viewed as yet another soldier in His army and under His command. Nothing is excluded. All things are included. He is the Lord of hosts over all the hosts that He has created. And He's the Lord of hosts over every creature, so that every one of those creatures serve us, serve the church for our good. The storms, the sun, the ocean, the great fish of the ocean, all of them, as so many soldiers in the army under the Lord of hosts, meant to serve us and controlled to serve us for our good. But then to tiny microbes, viruses, as well as presidents, and from the president all the way down to the homeless man on the street. Wars, economies, all of it. The Lord of hosts is sovereign over and controls. He's the Lord of hosts over the elect who bow to Him willingly and in love, and through whom He helps us. We can see that easily. The Lord of hosts is with us as He works through others whom He loves, as they come alongside of us and help us. The Lord of hosts is with us in that way, but also that which requires a bit more faith, perhaps we could say, we recognize that the reprobate who resist Him, who rage against Him, are also under His control, are also governed by the Lord of hosts and serve our good. He makes even our enemies to serve us and to serve our good. The Lord of hosts is with us. And this is true because as the great Lord of hosts, He is with us. We've been referring to that throughout the sermon. He is with us. And generally, we understand what that means. He's with us. But we look at that a bit more carefully and closely now. With us means He is for us. He is on our side over against the heathen, over against our enemies, over against all that would oppose us. It's not against us. It's for us. And then the question arises in our minds, how can that be? How can it be that the God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah God, the pure and holy one, can be for us when we are sinners, and by nature we are against Him? And the answer we know is Christ. The answer is Emmanuel. The answer is God with us in Christ, reconciling us unto Him, redeeming us unto Him, cleansing us from our sins through His glorious work upon the cross, so that on the basis of that which Christ has accomplished for us in regard to our sins, God Jehovah is our covenant God. Jehovah means He's the independent one, but Jehovah also refers to God as the God of the covenant, our covenant Father, having adopted us to be His own children, His own possession, His own beloved ones, through the work of His Son. Not only our Father, but also Jehovah is our covenant God, is our friend. Not to say those are two different things, but He's a Father who is our friend. He loves us. He's close to us. He's on our side. As our Father and our friend, He is with us as our helper. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. God is our helper over against all of our enemies, all of the sin and the guilt and the temptation and the doubt and the devil and death and all the heathen of the world. God is with us over against all of those enemies in Jesus Christ as the Lord of hosts. But in addition, He's with us as in the midst of us. That's a beautiful truth that comes out in the psalm as well. Verse 5, once again, God is in the midst of her. That's what it means too when we confess the Lord of hosts is with us. We mean to say He is near us, so near that He is even in the midst of us. Glorious, blessed truth. Again, because of Emmanuel, because Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, is the joining together of God and man. So in Jesus Christ and on the basis of Jesus Christ, God is in the midst of His church. He is. That's where we find Him. One may search all over the world, say, I desire to be with the Lord of hosts. I will seek Him out. I will find Him. And they will not find Him except they come within the church and are members of the church, true and living members of the church by faith in Jesus Christ. There, in the midst of the congregation, is the Lord of hosts. He is here, beloved, right now. He's in the midst of us. And He's in the midst of each living member of the church. That's true too. Christ is in us. Glorious, mysterious truth, but Christ is in the midst of us. Christ lives in our hearts. Christ is in us, and therefore we are in Him. The Lord of hosts is with you in that sense too, beloved. The Lord of hosts is with you as He lives in Jesus Christ in your heart, and therefore is your helper, and therefore is your refuge. Verse 11 says, "The God of Jacob is our refuge." Literally, the word refuge means a high, secure place. A place that is high and lifted up. And the idea is that this is a secure and safe place, high and lifted up over all the raging of storm and war. We can think in our minds of some strong fortress up on the top of the cliff overlooking the sea, so that as the waves crash against that tall cliff, they never reach that refuge. That's the idea. Or a tall and mighty mountain on the top of which there is a great castle. And living within that castle, one is secure and safe from all the enemies and has a commanding view of all that which might rage against them on all sides, but is safe and secure. The Lord of hosts, as with us, is also our refuge, our fortress. He's a refuge as He is in the midst of us, as within each of us, and as within us as a church of Christ, by faith in His Son, by faith in His Word, we find that refuge as well, don't we? We enjoy that. We experience that as God's people. As we look by faith upon His Son, and as we look into the Word and there find our Lord Jesus Christ in all the storms and troubles of life, we say, "He is yet a refuge in the midst of me. It's a refuge for my heart. He gives me strength. And He protects me. And He guides me." We confess that. That's our confession. May that confession also be our comfort. And may we confess that as a response to His Word in general, but also now specifically, may we confess this as a response to God's words of verse 10. That's how the text lays out before us. Verse 11 is a confession. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But that's the response of God's people to God's words of verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Some believe the words of verse 10 are said to the heathen. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Others believe that these words are spoken to God's people, to God's church. "Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Either way, one understands the passage. The word is a comfort, indeed a great comfort to the church. Even if we are to look at the verse as being spoken to the heathen, we hear those words yet as well, and they are a comfort to us, aren't they? Just as the mother promise was spoken originally to the devil, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and all the rest, spoken originally to the devil, but in the hearing of Adam and Eve and recorded for all of the church, and has since been a tremendous comfort to the church, so too this text. But note also, the text does not say, I will be exalted among you, O ye heathen. But God simply declares for all to hear, the heathen as well as the church, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And the church hears this mighty word of God and is comforted. Church is comforted in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm. The psalm speaks of that in poetic language, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Out of this passage this summer, on the beach, the high dunes on one side and Lake Michigan on the other side, and thought to myself, could I say I will not fear? If those dunes began to tremble and to topple and to slide and to come down into the lake, and the lake were to begin to roar and crash against the dunes, could I say I will not fear? The child of God does say that by faith. In the midst of the upheaval and storms of life, you three make confession of faith tonight, can say that, will say that, in the midst of the storms and battles of life. Though there are times too when we question and when we fear and when we doubt, when we ask what will become of our refuge, what will become of me, what will become of God's cause and of the church, then we hear His voice. And we let His voice answer all of our sinful doubts and confusions and concerns and anxieties. We hear His voice above all the turmoil and all the tumult. We hear His voice, I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen in the earth. I will be exalted in the earth. And that's our one desire after all, isn't it? That's our one desire. Be exalted, O Lord, in the earth. Never mind all the rest. I'm not concerned about all the rest, all the details. I'll put away all my fears and concerns. Only be Thou exalted, O Lord, in the earth. And then know too, with great comfort, God exalts Himself always by being with His church. That's the word He brings to us in the passage. Not only, I will be exalted and I care not for my church and I care not for my people, only I will exalt myself on my own and by myself. But God says, I will be exalted in the earth and I will be exalted as the Lord of hosts who is with you. I will be exalted in my church. I will be exalted as the mighty defender and preserver of my church. I will be exalted as the God who blesses my people. What a solid comfort that is. Though the mountains be removed and crash into the sea, let alone sand dunes in Lake Michigan, though the mountains be removed and crash into the sea, though everything turns upside down, we say, the Lord will be exalted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with me. Is with me. Know. And the word know means believe by that gift of faith that God has given to you. Know that He is God, that He will be exalted, that He is Jehovah, the mighty independent one, the God of the covenant. He is the Lord of hosts. Know and understand and contemplate and meditate upon the truth that He is the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob, the God who elected us in eternity. And know and understand that as God, He is with us. He is our refuge. And be still. Be still. We can recognize, God says that first of all to the heathen. Be still. Word literally means, let your hand fall down. Be still then. Let your hand that rises up over against my church fall down. Be still. Drop your hands. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted in my church, and I will be exalted as I uphold and bless my church. I am the Lord of hosts. I am with them. But then he says it also to his church. Be still. Let your hand that rises up to defend you from the blows drop down. The Lord of hosts is with you. Let your hand that rises up to take the battle by your own strength fall down. The Lord of hosts is with you. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Be still. I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be. And I, the Lord of hosts, am with you. He says it. He says it to you three for today. And He says it to you three for all of your life. You can look forward by faith to your whole life and say and confess, the Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. He will be exalted in me, in my life. He will be exalted, and therefore I can be still. And as God's people, all of us can say it. As living members of His glorious church, He is our God. We can be still. He will uphold us. He will be exalted. He will glorify Himself. And we can be still. And we are still and know that He is God. He will be exalted. And He will be with us. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. What a tremendous comfort it is. All of life is difficult. So too, it is good for us. So then, it is good for us to hear this Word so that we can say too, I will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge, and He will be exalted in the earth, knowing that Thou art God, our God, Jehovah, who is with us. We are still, and we have quietness and comfort and peace and security in our hearts. Bless us, Father, in this. And having that stillness and quietness and comfort, may we praise Thee, the God who has made it so, our refuge, our Lord of hosts, now and forevermore. Amen.